Man defined, part two. The three introductory quotes to Science and Health are as follows. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a statement by Jesus as quoted and referred to in John chapter 8. The second, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. And the third, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Ray Baker Eddy. These three quotations are part of the groundwork for Christian Science. It appears that another part of the important foundation of Christian Science is the statement by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. It seems reasonable to think about disease as being anything that is a dis-ease, in other words, any discord, any lack of balance or systematic consistency of good. By good, I will refer to page 587 in the Glossary of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is the textbook of Christian Science. It is defined as God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. So if one thinks about good, they have to be thinking about God, and they have to be realizing that spirit is the only substance, and that all power, all science, all presence, and all action is from God, is from spirit, and is defined as good. And of course, we cannot forget the definitions of God. Here are two of them. This one is on page 587 also, right next to the definition of good. And it is that God is the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. We know substance is included in spirit, and intelligence is included in mind, so it's like she is just giving us an extra reminder to remember that all substance is from spirit, and all intelligence is from mind. And these are God. These are terms to define God. And one more definition of God that I want to mention is on page 465, and that is that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. If one starts their day with these quotations that have just been read, it is apparent that the day will definitely be starting on the right foundation. And of course, the key is to keep thinking about these all day long. It would probably be a wise decision to stop whatever one is doing and think about these, maybe read them to oneself or memorize them and recite them to oneself, so that our model of what we are following all day long is based on these very succinct but powerful statements. If we think about all intelligence is coming from God, mind, I believe it would be difficult to make an ignorant decision, because we don't have to be the source. In fact, we are not the source of any intelligence, but we yield our self-will to the one and only source, which is the big boss, the only boss, God. We are the boss of our thoughts. And if we yield our thoughts to God's thoughts, then we are yielding to the things that have been stated in this recording about what God is. Why should we mess around trying to figure out the solution of something when God is all-knowing? That's a part of omniscience. Omniscience includes all intelligence, all knowing, and all wisdom. So why not go to God first and only? So do we want to know what man is? Do we want to define man in our own consciousness? Mary Baker Eddy gives us some very complete, informative statements on exactly that topic. This recording will focus on the statement she makes on page 475, which is a part of the chapter of recapitulation, chapter 14 of Science and Health. And as the word recapitulation indicates, it is a summary of everything that is contained as topics in the chapter, which is basically a summary of chapters 1 through 13, which is the entire part of Science and Health. Chapters 14 is the summary, and chapter 15 and 16 and 17 are the keys to the scripture, and chapter 18 is the fruitage, which means those are testimonies of people who have been healed, and by their own statements, which have been verified and confirmed, their healing came as a result of their sincere study of the textbook, not from any outside help, practitioner, or any other source, well, of course, except God, which is the source, all source. But the focus that brought about the healings for these people was the textbook. So what does it say on page 475 about man? Her very first phrase is that man is not matter. Another very important statement that Mary Baker Eddy makes, which we should be referring to on a daily basis, in fact, I would say multiple times a day, is the scientific statement of being, also in chapter 14, recapitulation. And in it, she states that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. If we drilled ourselves every single day, in fact, multiple times a day, with that scientific statement of being, it is reasonable to think that we may want to change that a little bit so that we incorporate ourselves in that statement. For example, we could say, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in, and instead of saying matter, we could substitute anything at all that seems to be facing us at the moment. And where she says all is infinite mind and it's infinite manifestation, for God is all in all, we could say that God is all, capital A, meaning all source, and little a, which is all manifestation, which means that me, myself, could not be anything other than a reflection of that one infinite mind. Because it says right here, and his infinite and its infinite manifestation. That means there is nothing else. If it's an infinite manifestation, it means it's the only manifestation. That means I must be a manifestation of God. I am a manifestation of God. The next sentence, spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. We could substitute whatever the problem is and say that is mortal error. Error, what is error? It's the opposite of truth. It's a facade. It's a mirage. It's not real. The next phrase, spirit is the real and eternal, which means that our problem that we're facing is unreal. It could not be real because spirit is real. A problem cannot be of a substance of spirit, because spirit is defined as flawless purity. In fact, so pure that it's totally transparent and it reflects. That certainly couldn't be something that is a mistake. It couldn't be something that is discordant or something that is a dis-ease. The next phrase, matter is unreal and temporal. So again, substitute what the problem is that we're facing. That is unreal and temporal. And temporal means that it's in thought on a temporary basis until we realize it's unreality. And when we realize it's unreality, it is no longer a part of consciousness because our consciousness will automatically say, well, that's nothing. So I'm not going to give that any consideration. I'm not going to give that any of my thought, speech, or action. I'm not investing a single moment of time in that. And the next phrase, spirit is God. And man, that's me, is his, that's God, image and likeness. I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Therefore, I am not material. I am spiritual. If we're spiritual, can we have a problem? Spirit is flawless. Can there be a problem in flawless spirit? Can there be a discord in the purity of spirit? It's not the purity of spirit if it's a discord. It is a temporal vision that is a mirage, a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of reality. So if we think about this scientific statement of being and individualize it in some kind of a manner, such as what is given as an example just now, and we do that throughout the day, I believe that you will see a transformation of your life. You will see a transformation of your thoughts about whatever appeared to be a problem, a discord of anything whatsoever, anything that is unlike God, has to be seen as something that has no foundation. So when she starts out the definition of man, what is man, on page 475, her very first thing is that man is not matter. I believe she's referring to the kinds of things that have been in this recording so far. It's not just a bland statement without substance. In fact, I think one of the biggest criticisms of Christian Science, or Christian Scientists as they name themselves, is that there is a tendency to make a bland statement and just walk away from it. For example, there is no matter, or there is no whatever, you know, substitute whatever word you want in there for a problem, and then walk away from it. Well, that's not what she is really advising us to do. I believe she's advising us to tear it apart, analyze it from beginning to end, and show through this scientific reasoning that has been said so far in this recording, explain it away with the truth. In other words, take every possible element of it and show that that's not true. Frederick L. Rawson is a genius in this respect, and he wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And there's a chapter in there called Applied Treatment. And he has listed 1,315 ailments. As a part of that chapter, he lists in a few words what the so-called material theory is about the problem. For example, if one has a problem with vision, one of the items he explains about is that there could be a cataract. And he states, in a few words, a sentence or less, of exactly what that claim is about the cause of the cataract. And then he gives the exact counterfact to that claim. And if we work with that counterfact, or if we start with the problem and say, well, that is not a part of spirit. That is not spiritual. Therefore, it has no foundation. And then we look at the counterfact, and we look at that in a very methodical, scientific way, and relate that to ourselves. We will soon be training our thought to be thinking about the reality of the vision as opposed to what the claim seems to be. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to a student on vision, and she says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? Now, we can imagine, or we can explain scientifically that what she could possibly be meaning, one of many things that she could be meaning, would be, can you focus on what spirit is? That spirit is the only substance, and it is flawless. It is so flawless that it's transparent. Because it's flawless, transparent, it's going to be reflecting. Just like a beautiful lake, where the water is very calm, and it reflects the atmosphere around, and the sky. In fact, the whole color that appears to be in the water is a reflection of the color of the sky. Anyway, these 1,315 different ailments that are listed probably covers anything that anyone has ever experienced if they've had a problem. And it is not recommended to be studying that chapter in depth on all of the problems, the ailments, but only select what you are facing at the moment. Because it's like one would be reading a medical dictionary and they're implanting in their thought all of these different things that the medical industry indicates that are possible ailments. Well, we don't want to study a variety of ailments. We only want to focus on what ailment that we are facing. It's like a dictionary. If we want to look up a word, we don't read the entire dictionary in order to find out what that one word means. We want to focus. Same thing here. We want to focus on the truth, and the particular ailment that we need to see is a lie. So getting back to the definition of what is man on page 475, so she says it's not made up of matter. And then she continues with things from the chapter on physiology. He is not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. The scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Man is spiritual and perfect, and because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. Now, the title to this paragraph is The Fleshly Factors Unreal. So she's pointing out that whatever seems to be a problem is based on something that is not man, not you, not me, not anyone. And by the way, it doesn't hurt to include in any kind of reasoning we're doing to apply it to everyone. So don't just say that I am spiritual. We could say that everyone is spiritual. Because man is a generic term and it is intended to include everyone, every individual, not every mortal, because mortal is an improper view of man. As Mary Baker Eddy states, there is no such thing as a mortal mind, because mind is not mortal, mind is immortal. And there's only one. And that is the mind of God. Bicknell Young was, I believe, the first one to make a very vivid statement about the mind of God. And he realized some 20 years after Mary Baker Eddy passed that the one and only mind is his mind. Because if there is only one mind, he couldn't have a mind of his own. So that's when he started stating publicly that this is my mind. My mind is the mind of God, because that's the only mind that exists. And when he got a better and better understanding of that, one could think that as he did that and we accept that statement, that means we accept that our mind is the mind of God, then we could also rationalize that everything else about God is ours. The substance of God is spirit, that is my substance. The soul of mine is spiritual sense, as defined by Mary Baker Eddy. That is my sense. My only sense is spiritual. My seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, they are all based on the substance of spirit. Therefore, I cannot be sensing that an accident could be real, for example, or a disease, or a sin. But these are only misconceptions of a viewpoint that is misinterpreting the facts of life. Misinterpreting reality. If we reason along those lines, I believe we will eventually be transforming our own consciousness so it will be more and more Christ-like. Every time we do it, I believe it is like what they state in the Bible, which is referenced by Mary Baker Eddy as the introductory quote to chapter 14, recapitulation. And that is, she refers to what is stated by Isaiah when he says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Mary Baker Eddy shows that as the introduction, as stated, to the chapter on recapitulation, which means that in summary of the first 13 chapters, that is what she thinks we should be having in our forethought constantly as we are reading and studying chapter 14. In other words, all of the details of Christian Science are summarized in that one quote. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. So in other words, everything we think about should be based on fact. And we must know the exact fact, line upon line, the exact fact. And we must not try to accomplish everything in one short time, but just add to our understanding a little at a time. She says, here a little and there a little. Don't take any steps backwards. Be very careful about picking up the telephone that Mr. Winslow refers to when he says, imagine yourself in a room that has a telephone and a radio. The radio is tuned into station KOG, Kingdom of God, and it only announces the qualities of God. It only announces what man is. It only announces everything that is real. It doesn't announce a single thing that is an error or a misrepresentation or a misinterpretation. It is only focusing on God, heaven, perfection. On the other hand, the phone that is in that room is an example of mortal mind that is trying to get you to listen to it and argue with it. And finally give in and say, okay, come on in my house of consciousness. Go ahead and take over. I'll do whatever you say. Is that what Jesus did when the devil tried to confront him with the three different temptations after he had spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert? No, he didn't argue with the devil. What he did was the same thing that Mary Baker Eddy did later, and that is when people would criticize her, she would simply state the fact. When she was criticized by a newspaper saying that she was prayerless, she didn't argue with them. She didn't say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not prayerless. You're crazy. No, she stated that she prayed three times a day with her face pointed toward the New Jerusalem, which means what the children of Israel discovered after they invested their years and years in the desert. And that was they saw that God was their source. And whenever there was a need, God supplied it. When there was a hot sun, he gave them a cloud. When it was dry, he gave them water. Made water come out of a rock. He taught them that they did not need to have big storehouses full of things because they were fearful that they would not be supplied with what they needed in the future, but that they needed to depend on God daily for their spiritual input, their spiritual understanding. Okay, what is the next thing that Mary Baker Eddy states in this definition of man on page 475? Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. Wow. He includes all right ideas. In other words, every quality of God is expressed in man. Everyone. Which ones do we want to be a reflection of? We should strive to be a reflection of every single one. Whatever comes to thought at the moment that relates to what we're doing. I went to see this longtime friend and her husband. And when they opened the door, they told me they were watching the Olympics and would I like to watch it with them for a while, which I did. And immediately it was gymnastics that was on. It was a summer Olympics. And she said, look at the grace that young lady is exhibiting. So she was immediately looking for spiritual qualities. She wasn't looking for anything else. She wasn't letting anything else enter her consciousness. She was only thinking about qualities. One time she said to me, she said, qualities, qualities. Everything is qualities. If we think of God as qualities, that's the only way I believe that we can think of God as being omnipresent. He certainly couldn't be a man or a woman that is in a fleshly body and be God, because he couldn't be omnipresent. It has to be something much bigger than a fleshly factor. As it says in this first paragraph, is the title to it, Fleshly Factors Unreal. So after it says in this definition on 475 that man is the conscious identity of being as found in science, in which man is the reflection of God or mind, and therefore is eternal, that which has no separate mind from God. That's one of the biggest problems in life. We keep trying to refer to a separate mind from God. But this says that has not a single quality, or the man has not a single quality underived from deity. That which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his maker. Well, there it is. God is all in all. God is all source and all manifestation. Or rather, I believe it means that God is all source, which includes his manifestation, which is the only manifestation there is. Manifestation. Man is included in the reflection of God. Next paragraph says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Well, that says a lot. Dominion. He gave man dominion over everything except God. The big boss, he's the one that has the dominion. And we only have it as a reflection of God, because God has manifested everything, and that means God manifested man. Now the next paragraph has the title of Man Unfallen. And it says, man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. Think of that. Mind is defined as being all capacity, all capability, all facility, all functionality. But is God capable of sin, sickness, and death? God is not capable of anything unlike himself. If God were a God of sin, sickness, or death, wow, that's not a God I want. I'm going to go look for another one. But the real God that is described here is incapable, because man is incapable and man is a reflection of God. It said that in the above paragraphs. Man is the reflection of God, the image and likeness of God. And that's repeating what it says in Genesis. The real man cannot depart from holiness. Nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin. A mortal sinner is not God's man. Mortals are the counterfeits of immortals. They are the children of the wicked one, or the one evil, which declares that man begins in dust, or as a material embryo. In divine science, God and the real man are inseparable as divine principle and idea. So that's why man is unfallen, because God and the real man are inseparable. How can man fall? How can man be sinful, diseased, or even die? The real man cannot. Title of the next paragraph is Mortals Are Not Immortals. Error urged to its final limits is self-destroyed. Error will cease to claim that soul is in body, that life and intelligence are in matter, and that this matter is man. God is the principle of man, and man is the idea of God. Hence, man is not mortal nor material. Mortals will disappear, and immortals, or the children of God, will appear as the only and eternal verities of man. There you go. That's the facts. The facts, the verities, is that we're children of God, which means that that is where we get our attributes, our features, our qualities. We're the offspring of God. We're the image and reflection of our source. And our source is not a human. It's not a result of coming from a woman's womb. No, that is not us. That is a misrepresentation of reality. It says here, mortals are not fallen children of God. They never had a perfect state of being, which may subsequently be regained. Remember, she is making a distinguishment here in the chapter title, or in the paragraph title, Mortals Are Not Immortals. So we have to be focusing on the immortal, not the facade or misunderstanding or misrepresentation of the facts stating that man is mortal. There is no mortal man, because man is immortal. The only thing mortal about man is a misunderstanding. So it says here, they were, from the beginning of mortal history, and I'm talking about mortal man here, conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. See there, that's the theory of what the physical sensation is about sex, about the beginning of a human, about electricity being involved, matter being generated from electricity. It's ridiculous. We have to understand that we existed always, just as it says in Genesis 1, in the only, Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean, instead of in the beginning, in the only creation there is, God made man in his image and likeness. Mortality is finally swallowed up in immortality. Sin, sickness, and death must disappear to give place to the facts which belong to immortal man. The next paragraph is entitled Imperishable Identity. Learn this, O mortal, and earnestly seek the spiritual status of man, which is outside of all material selfhood. Well, think back to the scientific statement of being. There's no life, truth, and intelligence or substance in matter. And that man is not material, he is spiritual. That scientific statement of being, wow, that is full of really, really direct statements of the truth. Remember that the scriptures say of mortal man, quote, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So there's not even a remembrance of mortal belief or mortal life, because it was only a theory. And when we awaken to the truth of being, we're not going to be interested in mortal theory. Next paragraph. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign, that's R-E-I-G-N, in the real. The kingdom man, showing that man in God's image is within, unfallen, and eternal. Jesus beheld in signs the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness. And this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. So, our senses are spirit, not matter. The only seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling that man has, or could ever have, and always has, is from a spiritual basis, knowing that our only substance is spirit, not matter. The last paragraph is entitled, Material Body, Never God's Idea. Whatever is material is mortal. To the five corporeal senses, man appears to be matter and mind united. But Christian Science reveals man as the idea of God and declares the corporeal senses to be mortal and erring illusions. Divine Science shows it to be impossible that a material body, though interwoven with matter's highest stratum, misnamed mind, should be man. The genuine and perfect man, the immortal idea of being, indestructible and eternal. Were it otherwise, man would be annihilated. That's the end of the definition. Now let me give you just a couple of other thoughts that are very, very pertinent and how we should go about having a treatment about man. In other words, ourselves. And anyone else that comes to thought that we don't have a wholesome idea about. We must remember that Mary Baker Eddy on page 146 makes this very, very important statement. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Remember, disease is anything that is ungodlike. It could be in the name of sin, sickness, death, relationships, anything, anything at all, an event. Anything that is ungodlike, that is missing the total balance and harmony of divine principle or the plan and design of love, that means that it's a fake. So, what is this system? Very briefly, if one studies the in-depth explanations as provided by the dear founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright, She has a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed, and there are 7 chapters that are a part of that book, each one being on one of the 7 synonymous terms. We should study that as a Bible for learning what the 7 terms mean. She has gone through science and health and underlined each one of the terms for God. And they are in 7 separate publications, 1 for each of the 7 terms. So you can see every place that Mary Baker Eddy used those terms, and you can study how she used them and why she used that term instead of another term. Each one of the 7 are clearly defined, and we have been discussing man, which includes all of them. And there is a full presentation on each one of the 8. And by 8, I mean the 7 synonymous terms and 1 that includes all of them together, which we have under the definition of God. So that's 1 very important tool to use. And to just give you a quick example, I already mentioned that mind is omniscience, and that omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Think of the redwood sequoia trees, Northwest California, probably Southern Oregon, wherein the roots are shallow, but they all bond together, and therefore, because of that unity, have produced, I believe it's determined to be the tallest and the longest living trees that we know of. We need to be unified with each other only on the basis of being spiritual, not as a, quote, mortal man, but as a spiritual idea of God. We've got to realize that if we say something against another person, we're criticizing. Read the 1.5-page article or listen to the MP3 of it, which is in the header right now, by a man by the name of Fluno, F-L-U-N-O. He was one of Mary Baker Eddy's early students and lecturers. And he basically says that criticizing is the foundation of all trouble. Let that sink in for a while. I won't go into any more detail about it, but it's so important that we have it in the header, which means that it's on the beginning, the top of every single page of the whole website. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and it's on every single page. And so is the definition of about divine metaphysics being a system. It's on every single page. So, this is what the system is about. There are the 7 synonymous terms, and there are 4 operators called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word is basically the facts about God. The Christ is the translation or interpretation of whatever we're faced with so that we can translate it to spiritual terms, just as Jesus, he saw the perfect man when he saw anyone that had a problem, whether it was a leper, a blind man, a dead Lazarus. It doesn't matter what their belief was, what kind of face that the heir took to present itself. He saw everyone being perfect. And that's what we need to strive for, seeing everyone perfect. So that is the Word, that is the Christ. Christianity means demonstrating what the facts are. The facts are the Word. And the translation is how we are dealing with what we're facing. And then demonstration is proving it. Proving it, proving the nothingness of matter and the everythingness of spirit as the only substance. And science, which is commonly called Christian science, that is the lowest level whereby we are looking at mortal man. We're recognizing it as being nothing, and we are working our way out of the mortal history, which is the belief of our background, and raising it up to the spiritual excellence of the divine, infinite, incorporeal, supreme mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So it's interpretation. It's interpretation of and the debunking of the lie upon lie that Mary Baker Eddy refers to, of which we are taught to believe is the reality, which of course is not true. That whole thing is false. So that's the four, and the seven are the seven synonymous terms. Each one of them has specific definitions. And if you click on the link to definitions and quotations and summaries, that gives you a phrase or two about each one of the seven, as well as the four, and it also gives you the text quotations from several things that I've quoted in this recording. So, remember that everything works together. And just a quick example, we have to be intelligent about everything we do, whether it's a matter of thinking about what is the real substance, or what is the real seeing, or what is the system and structure, which is principle, or what is my life all about, or what is truth, or what is love. We have to be intelligent. See, that's the mind that is intertwining with, weaving in as a part of the fabric of each of the other six. And it's the same with everything. The spirit has to be the substance. If we're thinking about motive, which is a part of truth, we have to think about what is the substance of the motive that we are considering. That spirit. So that spirit combining with truth. Or spirit combining with love. What kind of love are we having that we, when we hug our wife or our children or a friend, what kind of love is it? Is it a sensual? Is it anything less than godlike? If so, then it's not spiritual. So spirit has to be in everything we think, say, or do. Any way we think about life has to be spiritual. And the same with everything else. You know, plan and design is a part of love. Is the plan and design of what I'm thinking something that love would be doing? Love being God, love being something that will benefit everyone involved. Am I thinking of everyone as being spiritual? Am I abiding by the golden rule? You see, everything is combined in one very, very comprehensive network. And this is what those eight pages are about that I referred to, where we have one on God, which is a combination of all seven, and we have a complete presentation on each one of the seven, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, with many references. It's really a very, very comprehensive study. The treatments teach you the system. The system is what we need to learn to have a consistency in our healing, because that's what system is about. It enables repetition following what works. Following what works. We can't get the car started unless we turn the key. Well, I don't know, maybe today you can think it and do it. You know, I don't have one of these latest model cars, and they have all kinds of gadgets on them and so forth. They drive themselves and everything else. But basically, there's a procedure to follow in everything we do. Every single activity has a system, design, it has a principle, it has a structure. Everything in the dictionary fits into one of those terms that we've been discussing in this recording. Every single one. It's either that or it's the opposite, to remind us to do what Mr. Rawson did, and that was to give us the counterfact. And we got to make sure we do what Mr. Winslow suggests, and that is don't pick up the phone that's ringing its head off trying to suggest mortal illusions to us, but listen to KOG, the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is within. It's not out there somewhere, esoteric. It is within our own consciousness. Remember Shakespeare, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And what Jesus said, and recorded by John, about truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what Mary Baker Eddy says about being blessed. So if we know the truth, and if we realize that our thoughts are what bring our experience, which is what Shakespeare said, then we will get the blessing. What is the blessing? The blessing is the confidence and the completeness of love, which is shown to us that we can demonstrate if we follow the system. And we teach the system in these treatments. No question that the only God there is a God of qualities. And the qualities have been mentioned in this recording. And the allness is the manifestation of that one and only God. And as Mr. Rawson proved when he instantaneously healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on him, and Mr. Rawson said, there is nothing but God. The man flew up out of those rocks like a rocket, not a scratch on him. So we must remember that there is nothing but God. And if we remember that, we will realize that the truth in this recording cannot be interfered with in any way. It cannot be diluted, diverted, deflected, stopped, or reversed from being effective in healing any and every ill that one may be faced with. There is nothing but God. Amen.